Hello and welcome to the Sales Technology Training Call. This is Rick Cooper. Thanks for joining me today. We've got a great call planned for you. Today's call will include 30 minutes of content and 30 minutes of Q&A. You can check your email for a copy of the notes from today's call. To ask a question or to share a win, you can email me at rick@socialmediaoutcomes.com. And a great place to be on the internet during the call is out in our Facebook group. So go out and join the Sales Technology Training Program group out in Facebook and post a message there to say hello. Look for the pinned post at the top of the page today. Today's image is a green image, and it says Sales Technology Call, Module 7, Appointment Setting Emails. And that is our topic that we'll dive into here in a moment. And also wanted to let you know that you can access all of the archives from our calls out on the membership page. Just look, check your email for the link to go out and visit the membership page to get access to that. And in addition to that, the Sales Technology Training Program is a 12-week program that's designed to help you implement systems online and generate leads and earn sales. And we talk specifically about sales technology tools that you can use. And I give recommendations and thoughts around what kinds of tools that you can use to implement in your business, and I'll share some of those today. There are 12 modules of content. Now, one quick announcement before we get started here. I wanted to let you know that in the month of April, you're invited to participate in my article marketing writing contest. So if you would like to learn about how to write articles and publish them online and use that as a way to attract people to your business, out to your website or out to your blog, then feel free to join me for the contest. You can simply go out to socialmediaoutcomes.com/article contest and then register. And you'll also get access to a free training that I'm doing on article marketing as well. So again, this is the article marketing writing contest, and you can go to socialmediaoutcomes.com/article contest. And I posted the link out in the Facebook group where you can get access to that as well. Now, let's go ahead and dive right into our topic for today. So today we're talking about appointment setting emails. And I've covered, talked a little bit about this on some of our prior calls, but we'll expand on this conversation a little bit further. And one of the things I want to encourage you to do too is that this technique that I'm teaching you today on writing these appointment setting emails, you can also leverage this in terms of writing other types of email messages. So email marketing is one of the most effective tools that I have in my business, even more so than social media marketing. I use social media marketing a little bit differently in terms of the way that I create leverage with social media. But when it comes to generating specific results, like generating sales, like booking appointments, in most cases, email marketing is more effective for me than social media. Social media is great for attracting people in online, getting referrals, getting people registering for events, building social currency with people. But email is the tool that I use primarily to monetize my business. So you can use this strategy that I'm teaching you in multiple ways in email marketing. I'll try to give you a couple different examples of ways that you can create emails for your business. So we've been talking about setting appointments here for a couple weeks. And have you shifted your mindset yet around setting appointments? That's a good question to think about, because I think for a lot of people, they don't quite realize that revenue is driven off of the appointments that you set and run. You could certainly implement a lot of strategies online to generate sales, and I certainly implement strategies like that myself. I generate revenue in multiple ways. I generate sales in multiple ways. But for many people, the primary way that they're going to generate sales is either by meeting with somebody one-on-one, in person, or over the phone. Now, remember also that an event can also qualify as being an appointment. So, for instance, if I invite people to a webinar, let's say I had 50 people register and then 30 people attended, that's an appointment. That's an appointment between me and 30 people. So that might help shift your mindset a little bit as well. And so any emails that you might send out that would invite people to an event technically fall into the realm of being an appointment setting email. In fact, each month I like to develop a specific appointment setting email that I use in my business. And so I rotate this strategy over time in the sense that each month I offer some type of an appointment, but it might be different what type of appointment that I set. So when I set appointments, I think of a specific strategy for appointments, like what do I want this appointment to be about? What do I want to talk about during the session? And I have a lot of different areas in my own business where where I'll talk to clients about. And so one of the things you want to think about is what kind of conversations do you want to be having with people? And in fact, it was, training sessions ago, 2 weeks ago, I was talking about the different types of appointments that you can set. And then last week I was talking about creating opt-in forms around appointments. And I did, on last week's call, I did also talk about some different appointment descriptions. I could do a quick review here. I talked about strategy sessions, discovery sessions, a health consultation, health assessment, marketing strategy session, financial review, insurance assessment. And so there are a lot of different ways that you can kind of break down how you can bring value to somebody in an appointment. And I'll give you one example. In the month of March, I offered a free leverage strategy session. I think I had probably about 8 people who booked appointments with me for that appointment. Sometimes when I use this strategy, I'll get upwards of maybe 20 plus appointments getting people scheduled. It just depends on the topic. And really, it's a way of framing the conversation. So it's going to be what we're talking about on that specific call. So, for instance, on the leverage strategy session, I was talking to people about how to create more leverage in their business, like how could you record audio or video? How could you use your blog to create leverage? How can you create leverage through social media? So each type of appointment that I might set might have a different focus. It's a different conversation. I'm going to do different things to bring value to the person. But it helps me to market that appointment. And see, here's the thing. Even though the appointment is free, you still have to market it. You still have to create value for people in the process and get them interested in what it is that you're offering. Okay, so let's talk specifically. Actually, before we continue, let me just pop out into the Facebook group real quick. I want to check to make sure that, or I'm going to post out there our comment goal. So our comment goal for today's call is going to be 25 comments. So feel free to go out and post in the group and share what you're learning on the appointment today, or the call today. See, I'm using the word appointment here. All right. So one of the things is think about how many appointments you need to set per week. Like my goal overall is to have about 20 appointments per month. That would be 20 one-on-one appointments. And on the top of that, I typically want to do about 4 teleseminars or webinars per month. So that would technically be about 24 appointments. And then I might have some other appointments. I might be meeting with somebody in person. I might be going out and giving a presentation to a group or something else like that. But if I know that I want to set 20 appointments per month, then that breaks down to 5 appointments per week, which breaks down to 1 appointment per day. So is it possible for you to set and run 1 appointment per day? I think for most people that's very possible. And there are some people in sales who might be going for 3 to 4 appointments in a day or even more. But part of your time has to be spent on prospecting, and part of it has to be on sales. And I'm defining those a little bit differently in the sense that you may be prospecting someone who you haven't given a presentation to yet. You want to book an appointment with them, and during that appointment, then you'll have a sales conversation with them. So the key there is to be able to get people onto an appointment with you where you can talk to them one-on-one or one-to-many. And here's the thing. you might end up having multiple conversations with people over time. And some of those appointments might be scheduled, and some of them might be impromptu. Sometimes I'll just pick up the phone, and I'll look at who I need to reach out to, who I need to touch base with, and I'll pick up the phone and follow up with them. And I'll give you an example. I had a conversation earlier today with a client. They had sent me an email expressing interest in one of my programs. And I, what I did was I followed up and by email and also by phone. So they expressed interest. They had some kind of objection or a concern or a question. And so I brought that. I returned their call, spoke to them, answered the objection, and then they expressed interest in proceeding forward. So what's nice about that is oftentimes you'll be in a situation like that where somebody's interested, but there's just one final detail that needs to be addressed before they move forward. So you may have had an appointment with them. You may have shared your product or service with them, but they're not ready to move forward. But that doesn't mean that the sales effort is over. It's up to you to follow up and continue the process to make sure to take it all the way through to the point of conclusion. So why use email to set appointments? Well, let's consider the alternatives. What are the primary ways to book appointments? Probably for most people these days, the most common way to set an appointment is by picking up the phone and calling someone and scheduling an appointment. I don't know how many calls you make, but I make quite a few, and what I find is when I pick up the phone and call somebody, I get voicemail about 8 out of 10 calls. So about 80% of the time, I get voicemail. That can make it very frustrating and very time-consuming to try to schedule appointments with people, because now you're relying on them to follow up with you. And what happens if they call back and they get your voicemail? Now you're playing voicemail tag. So I certainly do recommend that you make calls and talk to people and use that as an opportunity to book appointments. But I think you have to look at the possibility that email could be an easier way for you to schedule appointments. It certainly would be a strategy for you to try. Now, what does it take to write an effective email? Now, this could be true for any particular email that you write. Some of the characteristics, I have an actual limit on the number of words that I have per line, or actually the number of characters. So for most of my emails that I send, I limit it to 70 characters. And part of the reason I limit that is because that's what my email marketing system that I use recommends. And if you go over that, they might even flag the email and return it back to you. So I have to write in that format about 6 to 8 words. That's a little bit different if you're using an email template where it kind of wrap the text around. But in the case of the emails that I do a hard line break after. Actually, it's more like around 50 characters. So I've kind of shrunk them down a little bit further. I also like that format and that style because it works well for mobile devices. If somebody's looking at a mobile device, then it's easy to read. There's just a couple words per line. They can easily kind of read and just keep scanning down as they're reading the information. Really long lines are kind of difficult to read. I find that I kind of lose track of where I am in an email where the information is so long. Another tip is when you're writing email messages, write in a breezy and conversational style. So when you're writing, write so that you are connecting individually with the person. This is kind of hard to do. It takes a little while to develop your own personal style when you're writing email messages, but you want to try to connect with people personally. You don't want them to feel like this is a message coming from a company or a corporation or something like that. That can kind of feels big and impersonal. You want to make sure that you're trying to relate to the person individually. So you have to develop that style of writing over time for yourself. Now, another good tip here is to keep your email short. Now, a lot of my emails tend to be fairly long, especially when you consider the fact that I'm shortening each line. So somebody, if somebody opens up an email and each line contains, 20 words, then it's going to kind of look like a shorter email. It's actually more text, but it actually is shorter in length. And so I got an email from a client last week saying, FYI, I think your emails are too long. And I said, okay, well, that's interesting. And so I responded back and said, well, when I write an email, I'm writing it for the person who's interested in the topic, not for the person who's not interested in the topic. But I said, thanks for the input. I'll consider writing some shorter email messages on occasion. And so two of my last emails that I've written out in the last week, I've made shorter based on that feedback. In fact, the email message that I sent out today was shorter. I wrote an email inviting people to become a guest blogger for me. And I made that a short email. So I deliberately, you know, kept it short copy. So I would kind of contrast with something more like my newsletters, which tend to be much longer. Avoid corporate speak. Again, you know, you should have a sense of this from the email messages that you currently receive, but take a look at what you're receiving and, you know, see what appeals to you and what doesn't appeal to you. What you'll probably find is that over time, you're getting email messages from people, and some of which are you're really kind of connecting to and feeling good about, and others not so much. Okay. Also, in your email messages, it's a good idea to have one clear offer. Now, the exception, of course, will be with an email newsletter. But in general, when you're writing an email message, have one specific offer. So in the case of an appointment setting email, the offer would probably be to either email you for details on how to schedule an appointment or including a link where somebody could go and register for or schedule an appointment with you. For example, I use a technology tool called TimeTrade. I'm a firm believer in using online scheduling or online appointment scheduling systems. I've used several of them over the years. I've evaluated about 6 different systems. There are some good systems out there, but I found that TimeTrade works the best for me. And so one nice thing that I like about TimeTrade is that it gives me an opportunity to create as many different types of appointments as I want. I could name each appointment something different. I could create a different landing page where people can come and find out more details about the appointment. I can also have a different schedule for each appointment as well. So there's a lot of flexibility in the system. But of course, the best feature is that it allows me to automate the process of scheduling an appointment. Instead of having to play this kind of voicemail tag or even email tag where you say, hey, let's schedule an appointment. And they say, great, let's do it. When do you want to meet? And then you're just doing this back and forth through email. It's much easier to do that through by having them click and go to a website where they can select a time on your calendar to schedule an appointment. Another best practice is to have multiple calls to action in the email. So even though you only have one clear offer, repeat that offer multiple times. Because as people scroll through an email, you always want to have at least one call to action visible on the page. Because the way people typically scan through email messages is they might hit the button which moves them down, you know, a couple lines at a time, or they hit the button which moves them down a whole page at a time, or they hit the page down button which takes them a page down. And so you always want to make sure you have a link visible on screen so that at any point, if they decide to click and go out there, that they have a link that's available and they can click right on it. So typically you don't want to just have one link. Sometimes in my email messages I might have only one link, but typically if it's some type of an offer, I'll make sure I have multiple. Now, you really have to create desire for people to want to talk with you. This is an important concept because people don't naturally just want to get on the phone and chat with you for half an hour. That's not at the top of their priority list. So you have to explain why they would want to do that. What are they going to get? What's in it for them? What is the benefit of meeting with you? And there's all sorts of ways to state the benefits, but typically It might be that you're going to share some specific information or details or share some insights or maybe give them some feedback on something. In fact, that's a great technique. I probably haven't done that enough in my own business, but I have done that from time to time where I offer feedback on something. So it might be offering feedback on somebody's website or blog, offering feedback on their Facebook page or feedback on their LinkedIn page. And there's all sorts of ways that you can even state that. You could call it a website review session or a LinkedIn review session or a LinkedIn assessment or something like that. So there's all sorts of things that you can do that help to make it more beneficial. People like to have feedback. People know that they aren't perfect at certain things, and so they want to have the advice and input of an expert. So if you're offering a free opportunity for them to give you feedback, then that becomes very compelling. And, of course, for you, it's a way for you to ask questions, identify needs, build trust or rapport, and then ultimately share some type of a product or service and lead people to a next step in working with you. So it's a great strategy to implement. Now, get in the mind of your customer. Get in the mind of your customer. You have to really think about it from their perspective and also use language that's going to appeal to them. So when you come up with the name of your appointment, then make sure it is something that's going to grab their attention and say, oh, I want that. That sounds interesting to me. Also consider inserting a testimonial or a customer story in your email messages. That's something that I do periodically. It's probably something I should do more often myself. And you can just ask yourself, do I have a testimonial for someone that relates to this specific offer that I'm making here? So like with my leverage strategy session, do I have an instance where somebody talks about how I helped them to create leverage in their business? That would be perfect to be able to insert into that type of email. It's also a good idea to state your expertise. That's something that I do periodically in my appointment setting emails. I might list out, I might say something like, here is a brief background of me, or here are some details about me that you might be interested in knowing. And typically I'll just do that as a bullet point list, where I'll list out maybe 5 or 6 items about myself. So you have to think for yourself, what can you state about your expertise that would be meaningful? Other times I'll just include my bio in there. I might include a short 2-paragraph bio that talks about my experience. Now in a few minutes I'm going to go out and read some of the messages that are out in the Facebook group, so feel free to join us out there now and post a message there. All right, let's talk about the components of a marketing email. So let's kind of break this down into a formula for you. So we have the subject line, we have the greeting, the introduction, we have body copy, benefits, social proof, we have the offer, the call to action, the closing, the email signature, and a PS statement. So I'm not going to go over all these, but I'll speak directly to a couple of them. Probably what do you think is the most important aspect of a marketing email? Well, if you answered subject line, then that is correct. The subject line is the most important part of an email message because if no one ever opens up your email, they won't read any of the rest of the copy. So the subject line has to grab their attention and motivate them to want to read your email. Now, not everybody opens email in the same way, so let me just talk about that for a moment. Some people take, and this also depends on how many email messages that people get and also how many email accounts that they have. I have many accounts, many different email accounts. I have 4 main accounts that I try to get through every single day and try to go through all the messages. And so my goal is that at the end of the day that I have cleared out my inbox of all my messages. And that might mean that I simply flag an email for follow-up and I need to go back later on and follow up. But I try to at least get through and sort through all my emails, archive what emails I can, delete what messages I can, and then have the rest of them to deal with. So, but other people, when they open up their email, they might feel very overwhelmed. Some people might have, say, 500 emails in their inbox. And so oftentimes as people go through email, they will take a look at their inbox and they will pick and choose what they want to open. So it's the subject line that motivates them to want to open the email message. And they'll scroll through, they might scroll through a couple pages of emails and then click on one or two emails to open up and read. And then they might close out of their email and go do something else. So there's no guarantee that when you send an email message that somebody's going to open it. And the fact of the matter is that you can take a look at your open rate for your emails to see how many people that you're sending emails to are actually opening your emails. So the average is somewhere around about 23%. I think my open rate is somewhere in the range of about 10 or 11%. I have a lot of people that I send email messages out to that probably never open them up. And so as a email marketer, you have to periodically go through and clean up your email list. And I'm doing a little bit of that right now. I've been doing some cleanup lately, deleting out old emails where people haven't done anything or where there might be bounced emails or things like that. So you really have to kind of stay on top of that over time, you know, devote a little bit of time each month to go in and look at your email list and evaluate it and do some cleanup on it. And that will actually help you in multiple ways from an email marketing standpoint. But that's a conversation for another program. Another thing to keep in mind is that just the process of writing an email, it's all about writing. And so I like to outline my emails when I'm getting started, like what are the main components of what I want to talk about here. I try to write that down, and I'll just kind of jump in and start writing. If I know, if I'm making a specific offer, I might take time to break out the components of the offer. If I have a sales page where I'm sending people to, I might just copy and paste text from that into the email. In the case of an appointment setting email, then really it's talking about the time that you're going to spend together. It's explaining what the appointment is, first of all, because you have to take the mystery out of this. You have to make it real simple and straightforward. So you might, you know, I might say something like, I might talk about marketing and the importance of having a good marketing strategy in your business, and I might say something like, I'd like to extend an invitation for you to schedule a free marketing strategy session with me. And I would say something like, this will be a 30-minute phone call where we talk about your business. I'll ask you some questions about your business. I'll share a few ideas, and I'll take a few minutes at the end of the call to talk about the way that I work with clients and see if there's a good fit for us to work together. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with me, I use a service called Time Trade to schedule appointments. Click here to visit my or to select a time for us to chat, and then I'll include the Time Trade link. That'll be an example of a short appointment setting email. I might want to spend more time going into the benefits and say something like, here are several benefits of our call, or here's several reasons why you would want to schedule an appointment with me, and go, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You can list out each of the reasons. So that's another great technique. A final idea I want to talk about related to the components of a marketing email is the PS. So the PS is what comes after your signature. And in your email message, you're likely to have a short email signature that you just type into your message. And then if you're using a permission-based marketing system, you probably have some kind of a signature that goes at the very end of your email message. So what you can do is you can close out your email, have a short signature, and then have a PS statement. So the PS is a good place where you can reiterate your offer. You can repeat whatever your offer was, and that could be a great opportunity for it. Okay. Now, let me go ahead and pop out into the Facebook group. So hang on just a second. Okay, bringing it up right now. Okay, good. Looks like we're up to about 19 comments. Susan and Tom are not able to join in on the call today. Roy says, today's topic, appointment setting emails. And it says, Rick's article marketing contest is running in April. Roy said, email can be more effective than social media for monetization. Yeah, and, there are exceptions to that rule. One of the exceptions would be if you're running ads. So there are a lot of businesses that run Facebook ads, and they might use that to drive out to a sales page where people can purchase. So that might be getting great results of being able to get their information out in front of people and having them sign up. So that could be a great technique for you to implement. So, you know, every business is going to be a little bit different. You just have to take a look and see what's going to work best. Okay. All right. Continuing on, Roy said, sending event invitations is a type of email appointment setting email. Yeah, absolutely. And I do events all the time. Event marketing is a big component of my business. And if I didn't do events, I probably wouldn't get the results that I do today. And because one of the things that one of the benefits of doing events that I like is it gives me a great way to add value. And not only that, but it also gives me a great way to build trust and rapport with my audience. And also it gives me leverage. You know, would you rather spend an hour on the phone with one person, or would you rather spend an hour, say, doing a teleseminar where you had 30 people listening in? Well, in most cases, it's going to make more sense to do the teleseminar because you'll be able to reach that many more people in the process. Roy says, set an appointment setting goal per day, week, or month. Yeah, you know, pick a goal that kind of works for you. And once you pick that, then stick to that over time. So what's nice about that is you you know, by setting a goal, for instance, for one a day, then that keeps it top of mind. I can look to my calendar and say, oh, my gosh, you know, I have 4 days this week that I don't have appointments. I better get into action to book some appointments. So if you have that daily focus of I need to have one appointment per day, then it's going to drive that activity to get into action and book those appointments. And it's a good idea to do some kind of tracking related to appointments. I like using spreadsheets for this. You can set up a spreadsheet, and then as you book appointments, then add them in there. Now, you're going to have your appointments on your calendar too, but the benefit of the spreadsheet is you can also keep track as to what the status of that appointment is. And also, if you need to do any follow-up, you can put in there whether you closed the sale or not. And so you can go back periodically through your list of appointments for follow-up. So you want to think about tracking mechanisms that you can use, tools that you can use that will help you to identify who you need to be following up with over time. You might also be able to do this in a CRM or a customer relationship management system. Roy says, setting appointments by phone often results in you getting voicemail. Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the challenges is when you go to schedule an appointment, you're probably going to find that instead of reaching a live person, you're getting a voicemail. So now you have to be prepared with a message to share if you get voicemail. So it's kind of difficult because if you say something like, I'd like to schedule an appointment with you, you know, here are three possible times, let me know which one works for you. Well, it doesn't work so well for one because if you're leaving that message, by the time they actually get back to you, one of those appointments may have been taken. So now you're in a situation where somebody wants a time that's already been booked. So this is the problem with time-shifted conversations, where you're sending out things that are valid as of right now, but by the time somebody actually gets the information, it's no longer available. I just had this situation through Facebook the other day. I offered someone two possible times for an appointment. They didn't get back to me within 24 hours. And then the next day, I had somebody else that I booked an appointment with on one of those times. So then I had to go back to the first person and say, this date and time are no longer available. So would you prefer the other one? And so we ended up having to go with the other one. So that happens at times. So the appointment setting email works very nice because when somebody gets that message, they can go out and see your calendar right now. They get the most accurate information. So the only better strategy is by phone, and I would even suggest that Time Trader or whatever appointment scheduling system that you're using would be a better strategy even than the phone. Because see, with the phone, Then you get into, well, you know, what's the best day of the week for you? Oh, well, I think Tuesdays are pretty good. Okay, let me check out on my Tuesdays. And so now you're having to just throw out dates and times, random dates and times. What's nice about a calendar is somebody can look at it and they can see what's available and then go, do I want to do this appointment on a Monday or on a Tuesday or on a Wednesday? Well, actually, for this particular week, Wednesday might be the best day. And I can see there are three available times, so let me select this time because that way we can have our appointment before lunch. So those are all considerations to take into account. So the folks that you're trying to book an appointment with might actually appreciate being able to go out and book an appointment on your schedule. Roy said, keep the line width of your emails readable. And again, it's going to depend on your specific system and what you're doing, also whether you're using a template for your email as to how it's set up. Roy said, keep your email short. Yeah, in general, short emails may probably perform better. There are times that I use longer emails, in particular like for my newsletters. But an appointment setting email might be a good one where you use a short email. And you might try it out. Try different different links of emails to see which gets better results for you. Roy included the link out to TimeTrade. Thanks for sharing that. Roy says, share the benefits of your appointment or event to motivate attendance. Yeah, absolutely. You know, whenever you're trying to motivate someone to take an action, being able to share the benefits of it is going to be play into, you know, creating the desire for them to want that with you. How are they going to benefit from an appointment with you? What's going to cause them to say yes? And you don't necessarily know exactly what it's going to be. So, you know, include multiple benefits. Talk about the process. Try to paint a vision. Paint a picture in their mind of what that appointment's going to be like. For some people, there might be a component where they might be motivating people. You can also listen to what your clients tell you. I had a conversation with a client earlier today, and she said, I feel, I came into the appointment feeling overwhelmed, and after our coaching session, I felt energized. Well, guess what? That's a great benefit that I could talk about when I'm offering to schedule appointments with people. I could say something like, it's very possible that at the end of our call, you'll feel energized and ready to, move your business forward. So listen to what words that your clients or customers are telling you, and you can use that in your email copy as well. Roy said, include a signature with your professional info. Yes, and if you're using a permission-based email marketing system, it's going to require you to include certain information about your business, including your mailing address. But you may also want to have other information as well as even like a link to your website. Roy said, clean up your email lists periodically. Yes, it's kind of a time-consuming activity. And again, it depends on what system you're using as to how much information you have access to, but you have to go in and take a look. Like in my system, I have what's called a bounce manager. And in the bounce manager, it tells me what emails have bounced. And so a bounce is where an email was sent out and the email was not delivered. It kind of hit the email server on the other end and it was not processed. Okay. Let's see here. One moment. Roy said, identify the intended outcomes of your appointment. Yes, absolutely. What are you trying to accomplish? And it could be as specific as knowing that you're going to offer a specific product or service, or you could be walking into the appointment with the assumption that you may not know exactly what you're going to offer somebody, but you're going to help to identify their needs and then choose the best option for you to the best option for them. Roy said, the PS is often the most read part of an email after the subject line. Yeah, I think that's definitely possible. The good news about that is that people will often scroll through the email and then get to the PS because the PS in many cases is kind of the summary of whatever it is that you said. So people will kind of scroll down to see what's the bottom line. What is Rick offering here? What is Joe offering? Or what is Roy offering? And then based on that, then they might go back and read the rest of the email as well. Okay. Let's see. Looks like we're at the end of the comments. So I'm going to go back and read some more, share some more ideas with you about appointment setting emails. We might end up wrapping up the call a couple minutes early. Now, so let me talk. There are two different ways that you could set appointments through email. One of which is an automated process where you include a link to a service like TimeTrade where people can click and they go out and select the time to chat. But there's a second way to do it that I've used many times before, which is more of a manual process. And the way that works is that you email somebody and you offer the appointment and then you ask them to email you back. And so what I would normally do is say something like, here's how to schedule your appointment. Send me an email message at rick@socialmediaoutcomes.com. Put the name of the appointment, like put marketing strategy session in the subject line. And then I might say something like, please include your name and phone number. And then I'll go on with the rest of the copy. But that would encourage them, or I might even say something like, or hit the reply button, or just reply back to this message and let me know that you would like to chat. So, you know, they can either create a new message or they could just reply back to you to do that as well. And then you would receive the email and then you would follow up. So the way that I approach this is I use a spreadsheet. I create a spreadsheet. Actually, I have one big spreadsheet and I would just add a new tab for the appointment setting email. And then anybody that responded to me, I would add them to the spreadsheet. And then I would reply back to them. I would follow up with them to schedule the appointment. So if I had, for instance, 10 people that said, I want an appointment, and then I reply back to them, maybe, what I would typically do is at that point, then I would include the link to TimeTrade. So maybe of the 10 people that expressed interest, 7 people went out and scheduled an appointment. Well, now what do you do with the 3 people who didn't? Well, that's a gap. So you had 10, and now it dropped to 7. So now you've got to follow up with those people in some other way, either send them another email or pick up the phone and call them. Now, let me share a couple tips here for writing an effective subject line for appointment setting emails. First of all, be descriptive. And again, you know, there's really two ways that you could handle this for an appointment setting email. You could just come right out and offer it, or you could be a little bit more mysterious. So if I were just trying to come right out and let them know what was going on, I might email them and I might say something like, leverage strategy session, and then in parentheses put, for the first 10 people to respond. So what that does is it lets them know what this is, that I'm offering this leverage strategy session, and then I would let them know that there are a limited number of appointments that are available, which helps to create scarcity for what it is that I'm offering. So be descriptive. The other option would be to create curiosity. So I could say something like, would you be interested in creating more leverage in your business? And then in parentheses put, let me help. So that would be a way of creating a little bit more curiosity. I'm not telling them in the subject line that I'm offering an appointment. I'm just asking them a question. Would you be interested in creating more leverage in your business? Then they might think to themselves, yes, I would. And so they would open up the email, and then they would learn about this opportunity to schedule an appointment with me. It's also a good idea to use urgency and scarcity. Now, scarcity is a lot easier to create in an appointment email than is urgency, although you could include something for urgency as well. Now, it probably wouldn't work so much in the subject line. I suppose it could, but I would probably create the urgency in the email itself. Like in the email, I might say something like, this opportunity is available for the first 10 people to respond, or and then you could say something like, I'll be accepting requests for appointments through Friday at 5 p.m. or something like that, or give a specific date and time. So that would be a way of helping to create urgency. You could also put that in the subject line, but you know, you have to be careful about your subject lines. You don't want to overwhelm people with too many words. So you want your subject lines to be short so that people can scroll through their email and something grabs their attention and it makes them curious. If you make it too long, too complex, then people won't respond. And finally, I do recommend that you also use buzzwords in your email. What is a buzzword? Well, it could be a trendy word. It could be something that's being used in the media. It could be a word that appeals to your ideal customers or clients. But words are very important, and selecting the right words can make a big difference in your business. Now, let me talk for a moment about how to follow up with people who don't set appointments. And I kind of mentioned earlier, if you have somebody that scheduled an appointment or they had emailed you to schedule an appointment and you sent a link, they didn't follow up, you're going to have to just continue to follow up over time. So find a way to keep track of that and keep following up either by phone or send a follow-up email message or even reach out to them through social media. You might even, you know, send them a private message on Facebook and say, hey, I just wanted to follow up. I know that you expressed interest in my leverage strategy session. Wanted to find out if you're still interested. If you are, let me know, and I can get you details to get signed up. So, you know, just keep following up in different ways. And the way I look at it, too, is, you know, if they don't sign up for an appointment for this, if they don't follow through for this, maybe they'll sign up for something else in the future. So, I mean, there comes a point where you just kind of say, hey, you know what, it's okay if they didn't schedule this one. Maybe it wasn't, you know, a high enough priority for them. But if your marketing is working, if you're consistently marketing to people over time, sooner or later, they're going to express interest and they're really going to be motivated to take action. You also have to remember that sometimes people's lives get complicated. You know, people have family issues, they have health issues, they have issues in their business, they've got taxes, whatever else. There's all sorts of things that might be going on which might be holding people back. Okay, let me go back out to the Facebook page and see if there are any other messages before we wrap up the call today. Okay, a couple more comments here, and it looks like we met our goal. Great job. Roy said, paint a vision of the appointment. Yeah, in fact, when it comes to painting a vision, a great word that you can use in your marketing is the word imagine. So you could say something like, so maybe I'm talking about productivity. And I'm talking about, you know, how some people tend to get bogged down on unimportant things. And as a result of that, they don't really get to, you know, working on the things that are going to move their business forward and increase revenue. And so I might say something like, imagine that you reach a point where you're starting to book and run appointments every single day. And each of those appointments are beginning to translate into sales. Just imagine having more money coming into your account. Wouldn't that be exciting? That's a very powerful strategy. It's a strategy of getting people to envision something. It's also a strategy of pacing. You're pacing someone through the process. Now, Roy said, solicit client feedback. Yes. And actually, I think when I was talking about the appointment emails, I was talking about giving clients feedback on something. But, yeah, you could also solicit client feedback as well. Or it says, track your appointment setting / running conversion ratio. Yeah, that's a good tip. Not every appointment that you set will run. So, for instance, if you have a goal of running 20 appointments per month, then you probably want to actually set more appointments than that. So, for instance, if only 4 out of 5 of your appointments typically run, which would be an 80% ratio, then you would want to make sure that you schedule an extra few appointments each month. So, let's see, what would that be? Well, let's just say that you scheduled 25 appointments. Actually, let's say 24. 24 and 4 out of 5 run. I'm losing track of the math here. But anyway, if you schedule 24 or 25 appointments, then you're probably going to end up with about 20 appointments run. So always try to schedule more than you actually need. But make sure that you're tracking those results on an ongoing basis. And that's where that spreadsheet can come in handy, because then you can go through that spreadsheet and periodically you can total up the numbers, maybe weekly or at least monthly, total it up and see how many you actually ended up with. What was your goal? How many did you schedule? And then how many did you actually run? And in fact, you might even find it helpful to maybe create another tab in your spreadsheet and have a place where you total up your results every single month. If I were going to do that, probably what I would do is down the left-hand side in the rows, I would put the month, like I'd have January, February, March, April down on the rows. And then across the top, across the columns, I would then have appointment goal, scheduled appointments, and appointments run. And so, for instance, my goal might be 20. My number scheduled was 25, and my appointments run were 21 for the month. And so I would know that, okay, great, I met my goal, and I actually exceeded it by one appointment. But I could track that month by month over the course of the year. And what you'll find that's interesting here is that your revenue is going to track based on those numbers. So assuming that you're getting in front of qualified people, and you have people signing up for your products or services, the more appointments you have, the more revenue you're going to generate. And so in a month that you had 10 appointments versus a month that you had 20 appointments, you're probably going to notice that you ultimately doubled your sales. And sometimes that happens right away, and sometimes there's a bit of a lag time. It depends on what you're offering, what the price point is. Roy says, have a plan to follow up on appointment invitations that didn't convert. Absolutely. Roy said, use interest-creating remarks to stimulate curiosity. You bet. Use buzzwords in your email. And also, your appointment running rate is directly proportionate to your revenue. There you go. Absolutely. Assuming you're getting in front of the right people, you know, qualified prospects, then the more appointments you run, the higher your revenue will be. So if you want to make more money, you need to be booking and running more appointments. Well, on that note, we're going to go ahead and wrap up for today. So what I would encourage you to do is think about, go back through your notes and see if you can find at least one idea that you can implement here in the next week. You might have gotten an idea for a technology tool. Maybe you got an idea for using spreadsheets as a way, or even a CRM for keeping track of certain information. Try to take something that you learned today and then go out and implement it in your business, and that will keep you moving forward and helping to increase your results. And if you take these ideas, these suggestions of scheduling emails, I do also encourage you to actually take action on that and go ahead and start sending some emails. So write up an email that you can send it out to your list, and that can be a great way to schedule more appointments. So take action on that. I look forward to connecting with you next week. Have a great week, and God bless.